The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's the time? Sarah Spain, Justin Tisley, Jackie McMullen. Sarah, bad news, breaking news. We just sold you off in a fire sale. Justin Tisley, breaking news. You've been traded Washington to LA.
What?
This deadline, these trades, this look. Let's go.
You've been traded for Plaschke, Tisley.
Yes, yes. Washington to LA, yeah.
Got Plaschke and a screenplay to be named later.
I can help you with the real suggestion.
There are baseball deadlines when nothing happens. This was not that deadline. The New York Yankees going full Paisan. The Red Sox, Schwaba there, guy. The Blue Jays, Berrios. The Cubs, oh, Sarah, Javi Baez. To the Mets, Craig Kimbrell to the White Sox. And then the champs adding a first ballot Hall of Fame. I just started the All-Star game 2 weeks ago, Max Scherzer. And oh, by the way, Trey Turner. A stunning haul to add two All-Stars from the same team at the deadline. But I have to start with you, Sarah Spain. This is a safe place. This is a wellness check on you. Where are you today? What just happened?
Not good. I'm not good. You know, I told myself when they won the World Series that I wasn't going to be like the Red Sox after their drought, demanding success year after year, immediately forgetting the joy of reaching the summit. And I'm not that person. I'm still so grateful to be one of the few who got to see it. But as much as baseball is a business, the reason that we are so attracted and drawn to it is because we don't view it as a business as fans. We grow attached to the players and the people that bring us the joy that they did. And this particular group of Cubs, I don't know how to compare it to anything other than maybe the 90s Bulls of my lifetime. Rizzo was the heart of the team and the field on the karaoke stage at the Children's Hospital. He was the next Mr. Cub. And when he left, it felt like, oh, you're going to do that? Then I guess it's all over. And now it is all over because Baez was the swag who was going to keep us entertained no matter what other pieces had to be put in place while they figured out how to get back to contending. Now he's gone, and it feels like I can't go against what I promised, which was to forever be grateful for what they brought us. But that doesn't mean that in the moment I can't want to cry barf repeatedly when I see a single person from that team in a different uniform playing for the Yankees and the Mets of all places.
It's okay, Sarah. It's okay.
It's not okay.
From the have-nots to the haves, George Sedano in Los Angeles and what the Dodgers just did.
Well, you know, if there's any consolation for Sarah, the player she probably has the least emotional attachment to, she can just go watch him play for the White Sox, you know, in the same town where they actually will win their division.
Oh, okay. George, watch yourself. Don't you dare do this, Sarah. It's
unnecessary, wow. George.
Nonetheless, let's talk about the two teams that I think needed this, as ridiculous as it sounds, which is the Dodgers and the Yankees. If you look at the Dodgers, they've been looking up uncomfortably at the San Francisco Giants, their rival, all season long, basically, or at least since April 28th. So you've got that. They've only got a 68% chance to win the division. They don't know what Trevor Bauer's future is going to look like. They don't have Dustin May. Adding Max Scherzer made all the sense in the world. And oh, by the way, here's another top 15 player in Turner added to this mix, where you already have Bueller, Kershaw, Mookie Betts, Bellinger, Seager. They can go on and on and on. And with the Yankees, Tony, Brian Cashman is just fixing the mistake he made earlier this season. He just assumed that this team would be the next version of Murderer's Row and have the success they had last year, except, oh, wait a second, they didn't have any lefties in the lineup. So now he adds Gallo, he adds Rizzo, and he has fixed the error of his
Well, fix is a relative term. Those guys got to produce. And Jackie Mack, you've covered the NBA through super teams, which is a recent phenomenon, but some would argue it's been there all along. And now you're seeing what the Dodgers are doing. How does it strike you?
Well, nice of George for us to have, like, add a little something to the show. I thought he went through all the whole trend down line for us quite well there. I will say this. I think if you look at it, they spent $65 million more now on their payroll than the New York Yankees, who have historically have been the team that just say, we'll just buy our way to the top, which, as you know from your tender young experience, Tony, doesn't always work. In the case of the Dodgers, Mookie Betts was the beginning, and now it's just forget about
it. So let me ask you, is that good for baseball? Since you just admitted it doesn't always work in baseball. In the NBA.
Yeah, but it's never. Yeah. I don't think it's good for the NBA or for baseball, but look at the NBA. Who won the NBA championship? A small market team, the Milwaukee Bucks, because they had Giannis. So that's very, very different. I will say this. If I'm a Nationals fan, how on earth do you explain to me that you just traded away Trey Turner? Explain it to me, because I, for the life of me, cannot understand.
Yeah, there are fire sales, and then there's what the Nats have done in the last 24 hours. Another team that got the championship, and they didn't even get to celebrate their championship at home the year after because it was the pandemic season. You can start there, Justin. You're in Washington. Go ahead.
As if I needed any more confirmation, Tony, the mosquitoes here in D.C. are literally running everybody out of town, man. But look, if you're L.A., of course you do this deal, even if it pushes your payroll well north of $250 million, rather. Excuse me. Look, this is a statement move by the Dodgers. And honestly, I'm not mad at the gall of it. They're telling the rest of the league, look, we're the champions until you take this trophy from us. And yes, this is the second time in 9 years that we're not atop the NL West at the trade deadline. But don't get comfortable with that, you know. So this team has four Cy Young winners and four MVPs. And, oh, they just added a guy, the only player in baseball who's top five in batting average and stolen bases. And they added Max Scherzer, who 11 strikeouts through nine innings in the playoffs is the best in league history. If you're a Dodgers fan, you love it. If you're in D.C., you're just trying to survive the mosquitoes because you don't want to talk about baseball.
Sarah, I can't believe I'm doing this to you after the day you just had. But now I'm going to ask you to talk about the Los Angeles Dodgers and what they are doing and putting together a super team. It's always quote unquote, because in baseball, we've seen that hasn't led to championships with any regularity.
Yeah, we've seen plenty of teams. The Rays are a great example of a team that has success usually without spending, although they did go out and get Cruz this time during the trade deadline. But I think if you're trying not to be a hater, then you respect the fact that the Dodgers didn't just say, we won, we're done. Come give us all your money, buy all the merch, and we'll settle in. They're still going after it, and they want more than that, particularly because of the sustained success they've had to only have one World Series win to show for all those trips. They want to back it up. I think if you're anyone else, though, you could still fairly say, if you can't win with 17 All-Stars and a combined, like, 8 Cy Youngs and MVPs, then, like, what are we doing here? And I don't think it's good for baseball, but I'm not going to hate on Dodgers fans for enjoying the move. Mm-hmm.
Jackie Mack, last thing here. Can you just say Kyle Schwarber's name like Red Sox fans are going to say it? I can't wait to hear Red Sox fans say it.
Hey, Schwarber, you think you could play first base for us? You want to try for us, buddy? All right, thanks.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, Schwarber.
Awesome. In order to make that deal, they needed microprocessors. We've been horned there, but we have to talk about, well, another trade. The NBA draft nights are when trades typically happen. This is another trade. Lakers going full Voltron. If Voltron had three heads and achy, squeaky body parts that were 30-something year old. Russell Westbrook with LeBron and Anthony Davis. That is, in those three, 34 All-Star appearances, more salary this season than 19 teams in the league have for their whole roster. And it's a riddle on how the ball will go. I've seen grades for this trade going from A to D. From the people who trade grade. George, back to you again. What just happened?
The Lakers did what they needed to do to win in LeBron's window, and it just so happened to be that Russell Westbrook gets to go back home. But here's the takeaway from this, Tony. When LeBron is on the floor for the Lakers, they have the second-best offense in the NBA last season. When he wasn't on the floor, they had the 28th-best offense. You know what will happen when Russell Westbrook is on the floor and LeBron is not? They will not be the 28th worst or best offense in the NBA. They will be really good. Now, this thing will also be At times, it will be a little weird, right? They're not necessarily a perfect fit. But the one thing the Lakers have done that nobody's talked about, and this has flown under the radar, is added David Fizdale, who, by the way, was on the Miami Heat's roster when a guy who had a similar skill set to Russell Westbrook in Dwayne Wade played with LeBron. So if you're the Lakers, it would behoove you to go back into that Eric Spoelstra playbook from when...
Okay, but you really, I mean, you skimmed over a huge part of this. Like, it's going to be awkward. Who knows how... Yes, when they're on the court together. Let's start there. Not when they're off the court. They're going to be playing together, Jackie Mack. Can you see Russell Westbrook with LeBron, with Anthony Davis, working, just in a basketball sense, on the court?
Well, the one thing they're going to have to fix, and I think it is fixable, is they just traded away two of their better shooters. When you have those three on the floor, you've got problems with three-point shooting and spreading it out for them. Now, I think there's plenty of guys who will come on a minimum contract to fill that void for you. So if I'm the Lakers, of course I'm going to do this. Russell Westbrook, the thing about him is, it's always been his motor. No one ever questions whether he's playing hard and whether he's going to play through the finish. The question is, when the game is on the line, you can't ask, you can leave him open to hit an 18-footer, and if that's what you're going to do, you're not going to win. The Lakers won't have to do that.
Justin Tinsley, how did this trade strike you?
I like this move, but there's a lot to unpack here, admittedly. Look, the Lakers were 18th in the league in points per game off assists last year. Westbrook's led the league in that category three of the last four seasons, and he gets a ton of points around the paint, for himself and others. Like, the second place was Trae Young, and he had 100 less points around the paint created than Russell Westbrook last year. Look, they're going to be fun to watch because they want to play together, but as the LA Times noted today, teams are going to pack the paint on them and force them to shoot.
Yes, exactly.
The most important thing for the Lakers now is filling out that roster. And I don't know how much money they have because they have so much money tied up in those three guys, like you said, Tony. But how they fill out the roster is key because I'm not worried about those big three.
I'm hearing a lot about how, they're friends and everybody likes each other. That's great. Mm-hmm. How is this offense going to work, Sarah Spain?
Yeah, I mean, George mentioned it certainly feels like LeBron's trying to recreate the big three in Miami, but have Russell Westbrook be the Wade. The problem is this team just added a historically bad three-point shooter to a team where LeBron James is the only guy to hit more than 100 triples last season. They just traded away their perimeter shooters. They just added a historically bad jump shooter to a team that was 24th in jumpers last season. So I don't know why George is focusing on the moments when they won't be on the court together. Great. Those will be great.
No.
I can't wait to watch those. They'll be very limited. But when they're on the court together, I have a lot of concerns. We've seen plenty of examples. The U.S. men's national team right now is a great example. You could put a ton of talent on the court. If you don't have chemistry and you don't have fit, it isn't necessarily going to work. Now, I'm not totally out on this. It's possible. But a proof of concept that a team with Russell Westbrook on it can be winners and not just admire his box statistics and his willingness and want, that's something we haven't seen before.
George, back in.
So I'm glad Sarah mentioned continuity being an issue, since that was my point last week about Team USA, which she disagreed with. Nonetheless, what I was telling you was that you have to look at the Miami Heat playbook. Dwayne Wade wasn't some three-point shooter. He's one of the worst three-point shooters at the guard position, maybe in the history of the sport, just like Russell Westbrook.
It's a different game now, George.
I understand that, Tony, but that still doesn't mean you can't space the floor in a way with the rest of the roster, and it also means that Anthony Davis has to play the five to space that roster.
Jackie, last word. You're not wrong there.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to stick up for George Sedano here. The reason he's talking about LeBron off the floor versus on the floor is a very good one. It's when the Lakers fell apart in those games. So give George credit. Yeah. Give him his points back. It's a fair point.
Yeah, no, I think we all agree with that, but... it's also comparing the NBA when the Heatles were happening to the NBA now. It's a different game now. Wouldn't you agree, Jack?
No.
If you try to rebuild the team,
that's not. I'm not talking about that. Yeah. Okay. I'm talking about LeBron on the floor, off the floor, and successfully.
But now talk about building a team that was spaced like it was 2014.
Completely different.
Yeah,
completely different. And do not compare D Wade to Russell Westbrook. Completely different players.
Taking a break here, buy or sell on the other side.
Every time.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
These Olympics, man. The jaw-dropping swims and lifts. And here this match. The U.S. women's national soccer team in Netherlands today was tight. The Dutch were flying around. Vivian Medema is an assassin. USA coming back from the early deficit, taking the lead, hanging on by the skin of their teeth to get to PKs and win in penalty kicks. Alyssa Nair, the hero. This was not for the gold medal. This was not for the game before the gold medal game. This tournament's been tough for the U.S. women's national soccer team, Sarah. What's the takeaway?
Well, the takeaway is that I needed that win, and so did the bars of Chicago after the rest of the last couple days. It was incredibly stressful. The rest of the world is indeed catching up to this incredibly talented team, and we've seen it. But also worth noting that group play, three of the members advanced to the next round, which tells you just how difficult the teams that they were facing early on in this tournament were. That explains some of the trouble that they've had. But, man, they needed to depend on the spine of the team, and guess who that's been? A trio of Chicago Red Yo! Stars players. In the last three games as the player of the match. You got Julie Ertz, you got Tierra Davidson, you got Alyssa Nair. I don't know, Tony, I blame ownership over there.
Yeah, I do too. And it should be an undefeated season when they come back. Yeah. Justin Tinsley, your takeaway from the USWNT.
That was the most exciting thing I've seen in the Olympics thus far. But look, man, this team is they're leaving too many goals on the field.
Yeah.
Due to penalties, they've had nine goals stripped away from it. And look, the U.S. is still, they're still the team to beat. They're still the team to beat, Tony. But the quickest way to allow the world to catch up with you, allow them penalty kicks at the end of games. We can't continue to tempt fate like this.
Jackie McMahon.
It's going to blow up in our face.
Yeah, I'm no soccer expert, but even I know nine disallowed goals. That's the number of goals that some teams scored during the entire Olympic Games. And the U.S. is riding a really, really hot goalkeeper that's keeping them in these. It just feels like this entire Olympic Games to me is the world catching up to all these mainstay U.S. teams that we just assume are going to cruise to gold medals. It just doesn't work
yes,
that way.
Yes, there should be no assumption. That's the exceptionalism. Right. I mean, that is a false flag to begin with. But having nine goals disallowed by offsides, that's not the world catching up, George Sedano. What is plaguing this team right now?
Well, look, I think it's just the continuity, right? The mix of the team is a little different than it's been in years past. And here's the thing, in this instant reaction, instant analysis society we have, we don't allow for teams to just, I don't know, grow together, even within a tournament. We want to react so quickly and have our takes and, you know, spit fire at them and say that they're not going to win and they're not as good as they used to be. Yes, the other side is catching up or the other teams are catching up, but I do think this team has grown. And by the way, Nair, she is the real MVP. Forget about just the penalty kicks. Look at all the saves she had during that match. In particular, one against the proverbial and expected Golden Boot winner.
We'll move on. Buy or sell two. How the NBA draft played out last night. No surprises. That's not a bad thing. Cade Cunningham, number one in Detroit. Jalen Green, number two, Houston. Evan Mobley, number three, Cleveland. If there was a zig, it was Scotty Barnes to Toronto. The zag was Jalen Suggs. No Ben Simmons trade. Jackie, was there a big winner? And who's the player that could make the biggest immediate impact?
This was a case to me where there wasn't one huge Grand Slam winner. I mean, if you want to talk about losers, I would say it was the Sixers who couldn't get a deal done for Ben Simmons on draft night. So if you follow that logic, I suppose you could say the Brooklyn Nets are the winners because that trade didn't happen. This is a very good draft, a deep draft with a lot of good young players. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, I could list them all. But I didn't see one team that hit a Grand Slam home
Justin
run in
Tinsley.
This night.
I'm a big fan of what Houston did. Jalen Green, whose draft suit looked like Michael Jackson in the Rock With You video, I'm a big fan of pairing him alongside Christian Wood. And at the number 16 pick, Alperen Sengun, he was a big star in Europe, and he's only 19 years old. And Houston has a great young nucleus. I'm excited to watch them next year.
George Dana.
Tony, it's either Houston or Detroit, and I'm going to lean towards Detroit basketball. Jackie knows what I'm talking about when you go to that arena. Here's the deal. Eastern Conference, number one, easier to rebuild there and be faster. And Cade Cunningham is a star. Everyone is projecting he could be Luka Doncic-like. I've watched his game, certainly at Oklahoma State. He's in control, particularly at the end of games, much like Luka Doncic is at the end of games. I love their roster. Killian Hayes, Sadiq Bey. They're building something good there with Dwayne Casey and Trevor.
George, did you just make the argument when we were talking about U.S. national teams, too much has been put on them to be the greatest of all time and be exceptional? And you just said Luka Doncic linked to Cade Cunningham right there. Sarah Spade, join us.
Yeah, I got two big winners. One, I agree with these guys. It's the Pistons, not just because of the talent that they get with Cade, but also they can sort of erase the demons of former first round, number one picks. Stop talking about those. Start focusing on some success. The other winner is, of course, us, because some of those draft looks were bold. And I'm talking 5 years, 10 years from now, we're going to have content.
All right, we'll talk about that.
I don't see Michael Jackson. I see Fran Lebowitz on Jalen Green.
You know what? Let's pick that up when we get on the other side. The Eastern Conference here, Justin Tinsley and Jackie McMullen taking a weekend. George Sedano, Sarah Spain showed out in 2 minutes.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Since you guys brought it up, Drew Gooden is a one seed in NBA draft fashion, right? So Maki Walker wore a top hat. Trae Young wore short pants. So this year, you saw what Jalen Green put down. What Michael Jackson, you said. Fran Lebowitz, you said. There were others, of course, too. George, how do you grade the draft night fashion?
Look at it right there. You see it. Pink and teal. How does a guy from Miami not love the pink and teal combination, Tony? Back to back. And by the way, the guy who stole the night, Jalen Rose, going throwback, inserting himself back into the mix on draft night.
Yeah, I have to say I love this because of the content. We remember the Hall of Fame draft class of LeBron and Melo and Wade and their Hall of Fame terrible outfits. We're getting that in about 10 years on these guys.
Sarah, you did so much feeling on national TV in real time right in front of us. You said you were going to cry barf. It's okay to feel. I'm happy this was the place you did it.
Feeling.
Take the FaceTime.
Thank you. Thank you for giving me a moment. I'm going to spend it on something a little more joyful, which is what I loved that Lily King said after she and Annie laser placed 2-3 last night in swimming to a world record race from a South African swimmer who was so overcome by emotion for her achievement. They all hugged. They smiled. And afterwards, Lily King said, "We got to stop acting like silver and bronze are concessions. We earned those. We should celebrate them. It's not just gold. Even though we do that in America, I think it's a great lesson."
That is a great lesson. George, congrats on silver today, Jackie. Justin, congrats on bronze and whatever else.
Love you, Rizzo.